This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 102.7 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Welcome back to the show. It's almost 6:15 on this Monday and time to talk about South Africa's giant debt elephant in the room. And I'm not talking about state-owned enterprises or Eskom. The country has seen a real proliferation of large, long and expensive loans as the unintended consequences of well-meaning regulation. We often hear about extending credit as a form of financial inclusion, but the reality is that it places most financially illiterate borrowers in an inescapable debt trap. Naeem Badat is a director at Differential Capital. It's a recently formed asset manager in South Africa, and he published a paper on this issue entitled "Unsecured Lending Has Consumers Sliding Towards Financial Ruin. How do we reverse course?" Naeem, welcome. Firstly, tell us a little bit more about who Differential Capital is.
Thanks, Michael, and thanks for having me on the show. Differential is a newly formed asset management company. We're the first in South Africa that leverages artificial intelligence to enhance the traditional investment process. I'm one of three co-founders and the 11 people at the organization, and we're based in Joburg in Sandton, not too far from your offices.
Oh, we need to talk AI and asset management sometime. What you've applied to your paper, though, seems like some good old-fashioned research and slog. Your paper examines the landscape in South Africa and how we actually got here. Firstly, just recap the days pre the National Credit Act and what necessitated the introduction of the NCA.
So I think predating the National Credit Act, there was always a desire for financial inclusion given the political the space politically that we'd come from. And unfortunately, what was seen prior to the National Credit Act is that there was a lot of predatory lending. You had a case where consumers were being prejudiced by exorbitant interest rates in an environment that was not very well regulated. And I think the National Credit Act was an attempt to fix that. And in some instances, it's been positive, and in some it hasn't worked. And largely, it was well-meaning regulation, but we've seen that actually what's happened after that is that an industry has mushroomed under the guise of financial inclusion that's actually very deleterious to the consumer in the country as a whole.
And if you look at the self-stated purpose of the National Credit Act, it had three overarching purposes here: to promote and advance the social and economic welfare of South Africans, to promote a fair, transparent, competitive, sustainable and responsible credit market, and to protect consumers also while balancing the rights of credit providers. Now, you go and you have a look at the evidence, and specifically with regards to unsecured lending. And when we look here at the outcomes, it's hard to escape the conclusion that the NCA hasn't been successful in those three aims. Just firstly, though, what do you see as the major difference between microcredit in Africa, which has been to a large extent quite successful and is obviously used by the likes of the IFC as an example of good financial inclusion, and South African consumer loans that we've seen mushroom under the NCA?
So, Michael, if you look at the academic evidence, microfinance is only ever positive or has positive social utility in the event that the proceeds of the loan can be invested at a greater rate than the cost of the loans. So, we cited many academic studies in our research, and we looked extensively at where this has been good and where it's been bad. And overwhelmingly, this is what we found. In South Africa, the average cost of credit can be as high as 225% per annum. That's obviously for the shorter term maturity. As the maturities extend and you get to, say, a seven-year loan, it's still as high as 35 to 40%. Now, I'm not sure of anybody who can safely say that borrowing at those costs can then invest in something that will yield a higher return. And if you don't do this, ultimately what happens is you become poorer. It then becomes financial enslavement and not financial inclusion. So the South African case is markedly different to places where it's worked purely because of the cost of the loan.
And looking at who the main lenders are in this environment,
So you have about 1,500 microfinance enterprises. I think that's down from about 2,500 a couple of years ago. And they account for 50% of the loans by number. And then you have your banking institutions. So those are the non-bank institutions. That would also include some insurance companies. The banking institutions account for the other 50%, and you have specialist niche lenders, of course, that are more prominent than, say, the big four banks in the space.
And if you look at who are really dispensing the highest volume and value of these longer-term high interest rate loans, unsecured loans, who are the biggest players here? We know Capitec is obviously one of the biggest whenever its results come out, African Bank. Who are the others?
Yeah, absolutely. So to take a step back, you know, the most damaging form of the loan is probably the shorter-term, high-frequency, high-churn loan. 95% of those loans are done by non-banking financial institutions. The longer-term stuff is done by your banking institutions. You know, the banks don't really play to any meaningful degree in the shorter-term stuff except one particular niche lender. And I think on the longer-term stuff, you have the likes of, like you mentioned, the Capitec and the African Bank and also the big four banks. But I think it's important to mention that within that sphere, there's a you know, a very big difference in terms of what the risk tolerances are, specifically if you categorize the two niche lenders and the big four banks as a homogenous group. So using publicly available data, the gross yields and the credit loss ratios for the big four banks are materially lower than that of the niche lenders, and they're quite similar to the credit card offering in their book. So, you know, I would argue, and I think the data plays itself out as such, that the niche lenders are doing the more long, expensive, deleterious lending, certainly from what we've seen.
That is quite interesting, because I have found that despite the tough economy, the rise in non-performing loans in some of the big banks when they've reported over the last 12 months hasn't increased at a rate that one would have assumed reflects the tough economic environment out there. Do you have any theory or reason as to why that might be? Do you think consumers are just rolling over a lot of their loans, borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, for example?
So certainly within the unsecured lending space, there's evidence of that. In fact, what we notice now is that the average term of extension has increased significantly over the last few quarters. And it's now approaching the peak levels we saw prior to the crash of African Bank. Now, term extension is a perfect way to stave off default by facilitating affordability. Essentially, what you have is you have a consumer who may be in distress, and he comes into the lender, or the lender proactively gets hold of him and says, you know, you owe us 20,000 Rand, and you've got 18 months left. Let's turn it into a 36-month loan, and guess what? You know, we'll give you an extra 5,000 Rand that you can spend now. It has the effect of dropping the installment, but unfortunately, you know, there's diminishing marginal utility to do that, and so we think that as a method of saving off defaults is likely to come to an end soon. And you're likely to see the bad debts manifest after that.
And what really strikes me about your research is that it's really the low end of the base of the pyramid, as it's called. People earning less than 15,000 Rand a month owe around 137 billion Rand. That's 61% of all outstanding unsecured loans by your estimates. And the consumers of these loans are young, obviously low-income earners as well, and paying almost one-third of their monthly net income to service them. Is it reasonable that someone earning 5,000 Rand per month, for example, has 1,600 Rand spare to service consumption debt? I mean, it's clearly unsustainable. When does this party end?
So, Michael, you know, the obvious conclusion is that it will end when their mass default. Or there's a taxpayer bailout, I suppose. And the last time that happened, African Bank collapsed for the second time. So it absolutely is unsustainable, and we seem to be headed on, you know, down a similar path with regards to consumer affordability and all the metrics that you've just quoted. In fact, I think 7 years ago I wrote a report when I was at Deutsche Bank, you know, and the metrics weren't too dissimilar. And what you saw was this term extension that we mentioned. I mean, just to quote some statistics, 40% of consumers are in default. If you have an unsecured loan, there's a 56% chance that you're in default in some portion of your debt. You know, this is, as you say, a completely unsustainable state of being, and something needs to happen. And, you know, the nature of markets is that they're self-correcting.
Is that something, though? What are the solutions on the table?
So, you know, in our reports, we mentioned a couple of solutions, and I think, you know, our aim would be that there's a sustainable lending industry, certainly one that's more fair on the consumer and also not unfair on the borrower. And I think that the only way to achieve this is to drastically amend the legislation. I think what you need to start seeing is limits on sizes of loans, limits on terms. You mentioned that there's a 30% installment to income ratio. You know, that's clearly too high. That needs to come down. You know, something that I think is key is a cooling off period. You know, it's a consumer can walk into an unsecured lender and walk out with 350,000 rand within 20 minutes. You know, I think if the consumer had to come back after 7 days and re-sign a paper to collect the loan, that might stem some of this, you know, frivolous consumption, lending for purposes of frivolous consumption.
Mm.
So there's a number of things that can be done, but it stems from the fact that legislation needs to be changed. The legislation was well-intentioned and well-meaning, but the reality is it had unintended consequences that have now prevailed since the introduction of the National Credit Act back in 2007.
And unfortunately, if you see a lot of our social ills, Marikana, and a lot of the discontent that we see at the moment can be boiled down to this financial unwellness that we see that's taken root, taken hold of South Africa. Naeem Badat, Director at Differential Capital, a recently formed asset manager in South Africa, with some fascinating research into the unsecured lending market.